This is Kathleen Lingley from the St. Mary's University Archives. It is Thursday, July 11th, and I am interviewing Mr. Edmund Boyd.
I think if you ask me questions, it's much easier to spell it out.
Well, I've been doing interviews with some other people, but I haven't met anyone that was at the college when the Irish Christian Brothers were there.
Oh, yes. Well, as I say, I entered in 37, and I was there for a resident student for 3 years, and I matriculated in 40, and that marked the arrival of the Jesuits, so I went into college and did my college years under the Jesuits.
Oh, I forgot to ask you, just for the tape purposes, what is your full name?
Well, I just, Edmund Boyd, I have a middle name, but I never use it, Patrick Boyd, it's Edmund Boyd. I prefer, just to go under Edmund Boyd.
Sounds good.
If there were a question of ambiguity or confusion, I'd put my middle name, which is Patrick, but I never use it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And were you born in River Bourgeois?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. And in what year?
1924.
Okay. And, I guess I'd like to hear about your experiences with the Irish Christian Brothers. What day-to-day life was like, discipline, boarding.
Well, the discipline was, by today's standards, it would be quite demanding. I wouldn't call it harsh, no one suffered from it, but we used to get up at 6:30 and go to Mass at 7, and then there'd be after breakfast, 7:30 or so, there'd be half hours, there'd be a study period before classes begin again, and classes began at 9 o'clock. And as a high school boarder, there was always a brother in charge. They would rotate every week, some brother would replace the other, and if you went off the grounds, you would have to demand permission, say to go to the barber's or whatever errand. And but as a regime, it was quite moderate in the sense that no one chafed under the under the regime, that's for sure. And there were in the boarding school for the high school, there were about 14 of us, because they didn't have, there was one large dormitory which is divided into cubicles. And the college students, of whom there were 14, well, I think there were actually 16, because there was a room which was reserved for two college seniors. And college boarders, they faced the street, they looked out on Windsor Street, whereas the high school boarders, we had the wall behind it, we faced the wall in that room.
Do you remember how much it was for the boarding fees?
About $300, $350, $300. Tuition was $60, and then the thing that I remember was that laundry for the whole year was $10, and the Sisters of the Good Shepherd were the ones who did the laundry, and every week we sent it out and came back and so on. And I think, but you could get more accurate if you go to the, if you pick up a college brochure, what do they call that, the university, when they publish it?
The calendar?
Calendar, that's the word. You could get a calendar for those years and get a more accurate. But I think it was about, $300, it was certainly under $400 for the whole boarding and tuition and so on.
What were you allowed to have in your cubicle?
Well, it was a very, obviously, the space was very limited. There was room for a bed, and there was a table, there was a chair, and there was a kind of a clothes where it was with curtains, and so you could hang your clothes in this quasi cupboard type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the brothers, they boarded in the same area?
They were on the second floor, yes. We were all up on the third floor.
Okay.
And they were on the second floor, and they used to go into, we used to see them emerging or going in and out and so on. There was always a certain mystery about their quarters. They were, it was hallowed, the hallowed preserve. of the community. So we never meant to see.
So what was leisure time and weekends and that like for a boarder?
Well, the thing was there was always intramural sports and various in the wintertime there was hockey and then there was football and there was people played soccer and then one of the big sports, of course, it's understandable because it was the brothers being Irish, handball was a big thing in Ireland, so it was a large handball court and a lot of the students used to get involved in handball. And in the wintertime, every Friday night, there was this intense competition among the schools of the city. There were four high schools then. There was St. Mary, St. Pat's, Bloomfield, and the Academy. And every Friday night, there'd be a two-header game. One Friday, it could be between the Academy, Halifax County Academy, and St. Mary's, and the next game could be St. Pat's and Bloomfield. But they were always very, very closely followed, and rivalry was very keen among them.
Now, where would you eat at the college?
Well, there was a refectory down in the bottom, near the furnace room, where the kitchen, the scullery was, and so on, other pantries were. And there was also what we used to call the Bedford Brigade. There was a group of students who'd come in on the bus, and they would be at school during the day, and they would have their lunch, their noontime meal in the refectory. There was a table set up for them. And then there was a table which was reserved for some profs, for some of the, like Dean Baisley, who lived in Dartmouth, and Jim Lovett, who lived in Dartmouth, and they used to have their noon meal in the refectory at the same time we did.
Okay. Who would cook for you?
Well, they used to have a housekeeping staff. When I first came, there was a Miss Brophy, Jane Brophy from Mulgrave, and Brother Doyle, one of the more colorful members of the Brothers community, he's always referred to as Lady Jane, and she had three or four people, you know, under her who did the cooking but at one point I can remember there were only three. It was during the war when women were getting jobs in industry and the dockyard and factories and so on, there were only three, and they were responsible for getting meals for the Jesuit community and the boarders and keep the place going, and it was no mean chore.
Oh, certainly not. What made you choose St. Mary's High School and then the college?
Well, I had a scholarship, 3 years resident scholarship to the school, and then when I was in college, I had a 4-year scholarship to be resident and tuition. But my final year, I boarded out. My senior year, I used to walk to, it was, I lived in Cornwall Street, which is very near the school, so.
Okay. And were you the first in your family to come to St. Mary's High School?
Yes.
Did any other brothers? Or
yes, I had two younger brothers who came subsequently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what faculty were you in the college?
Arts. I graduated in arts in 1944.
Okay. Do you remember who your professors either at the high school or the college were? Like ones that stick out in your mind?
Well, in grade 9 we had Brother Keeley, who was an Irishman, and he came to St. Mary's via Newfoundland. He had spent, I don't know, 6-7 years in Newfoundland and came here. And he was our classmaster. And in grade 10, Brother Flannery was our class, or what I suppose, homeroom teacher. But then we had another brother for French. So, and we had a layman, Mr. Lynch, who taught us English. And those were our three, our three teachers. And in matriculation, we had Brother Knight for French, we had Brother Kelly for Bible history, we had Brother Lynham for chemistry, we had Brother Keogh as a class teacher. And I think that's the whole, that's his sum and substance. We had Brother Birmingham briefly for French, but then he only, lasted a short time, and then, I don't know, he was of a venerable age, so I think that was probably the factor in deciding that he wouldn't, because it was a large class, there were 48 of us in the matriculation class. So.
What was the transition like from the Irish Christian Brothers to the Jesuits?
Well, the fact that there was of necessity and transition from, which is normal from high school to college anyway, so that it was obviously more liberal. The regime was not as strict in the sense that we had more freedom to come and go. And for instance, in college, we wouldn't have to have permission to go off the grounds. And, I'm trying to think, that was basically the main distinction between. And I'm trying to think as far as the study regime. The college students could study in the library. I mean, they weren't in the study hall, because study halls were supervised if you're in there, be a brother or I think a Jesuit too. They continued, but you see, I was in the high school under the Jesuits, but I think that's how they worked it there. There was a classroom in which the students would be supervised and study for whatever, an hour and a half or 2 hours or something.
Okay. How did being at the college and the high school during the Depression and the war, how do you think that changed your experiences there or affected your experiences?
What do you mean? Well, the war, of course, naturally, we didn't have, it wasn't as what shall I say, they didn't have access to sugar and butter and meat and so on, so it was more restricted from that point of view. But we didn't suffer. There was no question of being deprived in a way. And, well, I don't think we saw a banana, for instance. But as I say, it was no major.
Were you a part of the ROTC?
COTC.
COTC. Yeah,
not that. Oh, yes, yeah.
And what was that like?
No one who is. It was an endurance test. I mean, we used to have to, a couple of days a week on Saturday mornings, we used to have come and parade, and another day of the week, generally Wednesday, and we used to have to wear these huge COTC uniforms, great coats and so on, which were ill-fitting, most of them. Then we went to, in the summertime, we went to Aldershot. It was just after the school closing. All this is, we would come home in June. I remember June the 6th was 1 year. We went at the end of May after convocation, and then came home on June the 6th.
Now, did you have jobs during the school year to help?
Oh yeah, for instance, the routine then, it doesn't work that way now because the unions would improve it. We used to, in the wintertime, some of them worked on the waterfront as checkers. And several Christmas holidays with fleets of my fellow students, we used to work in the post office, because then it was completely different. Now, nobody mailed early, so there'd be these mounds of mail that would all descend on the post office and causing quite a gridlock. So they used to recruit mostly college students.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And yes.
Now, what is it? Is this for an article or what?
Well, it's all part of the 200th anniversary. Yeah. Basically, I'm interviewing a broad spectrum of people just to have information in the archives for future researchers, or maybe if someone was writing a speech, they could look through them, like at a different event, and they could say, oh, people had fond memories of this organization, or that sort of thing. Not specifically saying, you know, Eben Boyd said this, but more so the idea of some of the things from the interviews.
Yeah. Yeah, it was certainly, the facilities were very limited, and I think it was amazing how they were able to accomplish what they did, because like the labs and the like, it was only the last year of the brothers in 1939-40 mm-hmm. that the president then, Brother Michael Lannan, undertook to establish some kind of library. And what they did, they gutted the there was an assembly hall, and they shortened or made the library from the rear. They cut a portion of the assembly hall to accommodate the library, which was back to back to the assembly hall.
Do you remember who the librarian was?
Pardon?
Do you remember the librarian at all? Or?
Oh, yes. Well, we had Father Shabbat, who came as dean in 1942. 42, yes. And he took over the library. And there was also a Florence Foley, who was here for a long time. And she moved down and she had been also, she was librarian, and then they made her registrar, and then when they moved down here, she, they were looking for a more professional, I mean, she had some certificates in library science, but she wasn't a full-fledged librarian or a bachelor with a degree. So she was seconded from the registrar's office into the library and functioned as a, I suppose you would call her a clerk, a librarian clerk. But then after her, there was Father, I think he was here during her time, Father Hallam, a Jesuit, who died prematurely. And then who else was there? There was Patricia O'Neill, who is still around. There was something Rockingham, a girl here, a girl who functioned as a librarian. I'm trying to think. Was there anyone else now in the library? Offhand, I can't think.
Okay. Now, you were from Cape Breton. Were there a lot of other Cape Breton students at the college?
No, because most... No, there'd be the odd one, but most of them, of course, because of the proximity to St. Vex, would go to... but when I was in high school, the first year, let's see, there was three, Cape Britoners. Then there was someone from the Magdalen Islands, there was somebody from Bermuda, there was someone from... Amherst. Let's see, was there anyone from New Brunswick? I can't think of. And from Prince Edward Island. And so that would probably be. Oh, and then there was someone from Bear River or Parsboro. I never figured out which one, but he was sort of semi-American. I could never understand this. But he was in the school. And there was always someone, generally from Saint-Pierre et Miquelon, French boy who came here to spend a year and learn English. And yes, it would always be that in the 3 years I was in high school, there would always be a Cambridgian element among the students. Yeah.
Now, like the students from Bermuda, why would they come to St. Mary's? Would they have family that went here?
Well, no, it depends, you see, because Halifax was in the was the archdiocese. Bermuda used to be within the jurisdiction of the Archbishop of Halifax, for instance. There were Sisters of Charity function there by the school and so on. So I suppose it would be natural for them to gravitate to St. Mary's from under, because of that. You know.
Okay. Now, in some yearbooks I read about when the Irish Christian Brothers were at the Windsor Street campus, they used to have on Saturday nights like movies and they'd play the piano along and different things like that. Do you remember anything like that?
No, they used to have what they called tombolas, which were a fundraising, and they would have kind of a variety show, and they would recruit different people to provide entertainment. But no, it wasn't a regular thing, I never remember. I can recall when CPR would donate, would have a excuse me, I'm sleepy because I didn't. I didn't get much sleep last night, and I played tennis today, so I was rather vague. Who spoke to they had like travelogues under the auspices of CPR, which would feature Banff Springs Hotel and this type of thing. It was a PR, you know, publicity ploy. But no, I can't say that there. I would find that there was a really a Saturday Night Live.
What can you tell me about non-Catholic students at St. Mary's? Were there a number of them?
I don't, in the boarding school, no. They were always, you had to be Catholic. I mean, that was understood. That was a given. So, I don't know. Then maybe, yes, that's true. That was a pattern, that if you boarded, you, because they insisted on daily mass and this type of thing.
The Christian Brothers or the Jesuits?
Well, the Jesuits too.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. And were you a member of any societies at the high school or the college? You were part of the play shop, right? You were.
Yeah, yes, but in high school, the brothers used to be strong on elocution contests. They used to have those. There'd be an annual elocution night, and in college, but I didn't take part in it. Well, there was an entertainment, if you will. I remember in grade 10, Brother Keogh, who is very into that type of thing, he staged an evening performance of different types of entertainment.
And
in college, though, there were three productions during my college years.
What were those?
Well, there was Who Ride on White Horses, which was celebrate the centennial, but that's another thing too. It's rather bizarre because anybody who is an undergraduate in 1941 remembers when the college celebrated its 100th anniversary, and then 60 years later they celebrate their 200th. So,
well, that doesn't make much sense, does it? What sort of things did they have at the centennial celebration?
Well, the usual, I feel sorry for the Jesuits because they came here and there's a certain resentment and hostility about their supplanting the brothers, but they were for naught. They just followed the directives of the order when they came. And, but they had to stage the usual things, the government, there would be, I think, this play which is put on with the Convent of the Sacred Heart. There was a, what else? There was a unveiling of a plaque on the university, well, it was then the college campus, and there were banquets, the usual things that you identify with an anniversary of that kind.
Now, how did St. Mary's being a small campus affect the atmosphere of the school? Were you a close-knit group of young men?
Oh, well, yes, because everybody knew everyone else. Even in college, although we were a separate entity, you knew these people in college who played hockey or played football and so on, so it gave a certain... familiarity and intimacy to the place, which of course doesn't exist now.
Was there a sense of rivalry with other schools like Dalhousie?
Well, we were always referred to as the kids from Windsor Street. That's how, even the press used to refer to us. And, they were rather condescending about St. Mary's, isn't it? Because they're being a professional school and so on, and they felt somewhat superior.
Now, was there a lot of interaction between, like, Dalhousie students, St. Mary's students, Mount students?
Well, yes, it was, because in those days, on a religious basis, things were rather ghettoized, and there wasn't that much interaction or exchange between Protestants and Catholics. So Mont St. Vincent was something on. They were generally, a great many of the girls would be Mont St. Vincent.
And what sort of things would you do? Like, would you have dances, or...?
Well, they used to have, yes, there'd be different society dances, the Art Society and the Commerce Society and so on. They would stage these dances in the course of the year, and they would always have people from the Mount. And, the convent, or... later on, the vocational school, but that was from, that would have been from the early 50s when the vocational school opened.
Okay. Now, some other people told me that, like, the engineering faculty would have smokers over here on the Roby Street campus in the Collins House. Did the arts faculty have anything like that?
Yeah, they used to have, they had a Tau Gamma Sigma, that's what we call the Art Society, and they would have various functions and maybe the odd dance. But the college now, for instance, when I was into college, I think there were 114 students. When I graduated, there were about 24. Well, there were 8 of us in arts who graduated.
Okay.
8 of us in 8 in commerce. I think it was 8 in science.
Quite a drop.
Yeah.
Now, why would enrollment drop so much? Was it because of the war, or...?
Yes, well, that certainly was a factor, that a great many who normally have gone to college signed up for service in the Army or Navy or Air Force.
And did the brothers and then later the Jesuits encourage student involvement in things like debating and
hockey,
that sort of thing?
Oh yes, there was always that element of I don't know what you call it. I suppose there was a way of generating some esprit de corps among the students, and they would. Encourage students to participate in
Did they participate themselves? I heard stories about Father Keogh playing football with the boys.
Let's see. Yes, but that was exceptional. It wasn't... well, some of the scholastics would the younger Jesuits, for instance, would get involved.
Okay. And did you notice a level of... a different level of involvement between the day students and the boarders?
I'm trying to think. Give me that question again.
Did you notice a difference in the level of involvement between the day students and the boarders?
No, not really. There was no. Some. For instance, there was a boarders hockey league it was the days when there was what they called a Roram, which was behind adjunct to the tennis courts, and there would be some, they used to have play hockey there. But no, there was no, everything was...
I'm just seeing how much tape is left on it before I have to flip over. And what sports teams were you affiliated with?
Well, I was never involved in that. I played a bit of tennis in high school, but hockey, not very strenuously, and a bit of handball, but I wasn't into...